Brother Wheaton was tired. And our brother Hubert was telling us that we've got to carry the gospel forth, that we've got to share the word of God with all those that would accept it. But we have to be careful. And it was wisdom. Because he said, you can't grab them by the neck. And as he did, he grabbed Dick by the neck. And the problem was Dick had gone to sleep. But we had some beautiful, beautiful experiences. Each of us, throughout our experiences in the Church of Christ. I'm going to tell you about one that I've had with our brother. I've never been able to occupy with Brother Roy. But I've been around him enough to know there is nobody in the Church of Christ that has such real enthusiasm, such pure, sweet faith that God's will would be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Like Hubert, and like that enthusiasm, I invite you to be fed tonight by our brother and elder, Roy Kuhn.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you so much. I made a mistake, and I got a flu shot and a pneumonia shot Monday, and it left me with quite a reaction there. I felt real bad Tuesday and Wednesday. And I was counting on Wednesday afternoon to work on my sermon. We had to run to Boise unexpectedly. And when we got back, it was getting late, so I worked on it. And I just couldn't get anywhere. It was time to go to bed around midnight. So I thought, well, I'll get up in the morning and I'll get with it. So I was real hurried. I knew that we had to leave yesterday morning. Had to be out at the airport at 10 o'clock. And I knew I had a time schedule. And I don't like to work something like this under a time schedule. And I was kind of nervous and excited. And I sat down at the table, and I wanted to study the scriptures, and I opened up the Book of Mormon, and I couldn't read anything. And I've got my left eye, I had cataract surgery on it, and there's a film behind it. Now they got to go in for more extensive surgery, and I haven't been able to read with my left eye at all, but here my right eye had quit on me. Both of my eyes were blurred, and I thought, what am I going to do? I can't write. I can't read. How am I going to preach? So I got the scriptures up real close, and I still couldn't see them. So I went over to the kitchen sink, turned on the fluorescent light, and I looked. Still, just a big blur. And I about panicked. And I thought, well, maybe they're just dirty. So I pulled off the glasses and looked at them. No, there wasn't wrong with the glasses. I took another look. Why, they're Mary's glasses. No wonder I can't read anything. And it was dark up in our bedroom that morning. She just had a nightlight on it. She laid her glasses right next to mine. And I just reached and got them and put them on. And I was a big hurry. And, boy, I'll tell you, I had a sigh of relief there. I know when Dwayne called me, you know, he asked me if I'd preach. And I told him I would. And he said, you know, I've never heard you preach. I said, you don't know how lucky you've been. And I've said that to several people that said that to me. They said, when they say they haven't heard me preach, I just tell them, you're just lucky. And just to give you an example, something happened to me quite some time ago. We just finished our church service, and I was walking to the back of the room, and there was a little girl back there. And she said, Preacher Roy, when I grow up, I'm going to give you some money. And I said, give me some money? Why would you give me money? She says, my daddy says you're the poorest preacher we ever had. When you heard Rich laugh this morning when he said I was going to be the speaker tonight, he was just preparing you for what might come. You know, I look back on my life and I think about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving took on a different meaning when I found the Lord. Back when I was a child, we always had a big Thanksgiving dinner and had the family together, but the Lord wasn't mentioned in it other than the fact that my grandfather would open with a blessing on the food before we begin to eat. But nobody ever said anything about a blessing that we received during our lifetime, during the year, or anything like that. And I just kind of took things like that for granted, you know. I was kind of a fatalist. I figured, well, I'm pretty lucky. Lady luck's on my side. And I didn't give the Lord credit for anything. And then, somewhere along the line, I found the Lord. And it was kind of a, and I learned to pray. We were never taught to pray when I was a child. And so I knew nothing about praying. And I remember about the only prayer I ever remember offering to the Lord. And it was pretty short and pretty much to the point. And kind of crude, you might say. But Mary had been sick. She was in the hospital, been in there for a long time, and they couldn't find out what was wrong with her. And finally they went in for exploratory surgery, and when they got in there, they found a liver duct was restricted pretty badly, and so they opened that up, and then they saw that her liver had spots all over it. So they took a biopsy of it, they took a little snip off from it, and said they'd see what the results would be. Mary's brother belonged to the RLDS church, and he came up there and he said, "Would it be all right if I had the elders pray for Mary?" I looked at him and I said, "Well, I suppose so." I said, "It probably can't hurt anything." And so I sat out in the waiting room while they went in there and they went and prayed for Mary. And then I stayed till, probably about 9 o'clock that night, and I went home. And I was sitting at the tables around midnight. I just didn't feel like going to sleep, and I got a phone call from the hospital. The hospital said that Mary started to hemorrhage, and they said they were going to have to put her back into surgery, and that I better get down there as quick as I could. We only lived 2 miles from the hospital that time. We lived in Boise. So I got in the car, and I ran down there, and I got in the parking lot. And I'll never forget that night. I looked up the sky. It was a beautiful night. Stars were shining everywhere. And I offered a prayer to the Lord. I said, "Lord, if you've got to take somebody, take me." I said, "Mary's a much better person than I am, so please spare her life." And that was my prayer. And I walked into the hospital, and there were doctors were all dressed up in their white gowns, ready to take her into surgery. And then the doctor said to me, "You know, she's quit bleeding. The hemorrhage has stopped." And they said, "We're going to wait till morning and see what happened." Well, I didn't praise the Lord. I didn't give him credit for nothing. I should have, but I didn't even think about those things in those days. I didn't believe that much. And so I went home, and the next morning I went back, and Mary seemed to be doing all right. The bleeding had completely stopped, and she had received a blessing, even though I didn't acknowledge it as one. So finally she got out of the hospital, got her home, and she didn't get any better. She kept staying sick, and she was frail, and she lost a lot of weight. And we had a next-door neighbor. She was a lovely lady, and she never had a daughter. She never had any kids, and she accepted Mary as her own daughter. And so she'd look after Mary all day long while I had to go to work, because I had a lot of responsibility on the job, and I couldn't be away from it very much. And so she looked after day after day, and just kept going on and on. Mary wasn't getting any better. And they would, she was on a real strong antibiotic. And they wanted to get her off that strong antibiotic. And every time they did, she got deathly sick. And this went over and over and over. And I was talking to this friend of mine. And I told him what the situation was. He said, "You know, if you don't do something, you're going to lose that woman." I said, "Well, what should I do?" He said, "I'd get a hold of those doctors and I'd get something going." So I gave it a little thought, you know, and something came to my mind. I didn't know the Lord was helping me at that time, but something came to my mind that maybe we ought to try. So I called the doctor up, and I told her, I said, "You know, you're getting nowhere with her. She's just as sick as she was when she came out of the hospital, and a month's gone by, and you're making no progress." I said, "I think something else should be tried." Now, I said, "I've got a theory. I'm not sure it'll work. But," I said, "my idea is if you'll take her off all those antibiotics, then you can culture whatever this is. As long as she's on some kind of antibiotic, it's not showing up." And that's what they're trying to do, is get a culture. So I left Mary that morning, and I told her, I said, they decided to go that way. They said, "We'll give it a try." So I left Mary that morning, and I went to the job, and I went to the office and told them if I'm expecting a phone call at any minute, so let me know immediately so I can head home. So noon came. I hadn't got the phone call, so I think I checked in with Mary. I don't remember for sure. I Sure I did, though. And she said, you were doing fine. I couldn't believe it. So I went through the rest of the day and come home that night, and she was doing fine. And come to find out, she was allergic to the medication. That's all the problem was. They took her off all this medication, and she began to get well. Like I say, I didn't praise the Lord. I should have praised the Lord for what was brought to my mind, that me not being a doctor, yet I could advise a doctor, ask him to try something, and it worked. And so I looked back, and I saw a miracle before my eyes. Yet I didn't really call it a miracle. I want to take you to Mosiah chapter 1. I'll be on page 216. I find my place here. I'll be beginning with verse 95. And he said unto me, awake and hear the words which I shall tell thee. For behold, I am come to declare unto thee glad tidings of joy. For the Lord hath heard thy prayers, and has judged of thy righteousness, and has sent me to declare unto you that thou mayest rejoice, and that thou mayest declare unto thy people, that they may also be filled with joy. For behold, the time cometh, and is not far distant, when with power of the Lord Omnipotent will reign, which was and is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven amongst the children of men, and shall dwell in a tabernacle of clay. And he shall go forth amongst men, working mighty miracles, such as healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, curing all manner of diseases. And he shall cast out devils, or the evil spirits which dwell in the hearts of the children of men. And he shall suffer temptations and pain of body, hunger, thirst, and fatigue, even more than man can suffer, except it be unto death. For behold, blood cometh from every pore, so great shall be his anguish, for the wickedness and abominations of his people. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the creator of all things from the beginning. And his mother shall be called Mary. And lo, he cometh unto his own, that salvation might come unto the children of men, even through faith on his name. If you remember, Buzz said that today, he said that these miracles have not ceased, you know. We still have these miracles. Even though Christ went into heaven and he's not with the people anymore, there's still a lot of healings and miracles. And Mary had a miracle there. And I know when I took her out of the hospital there, why, her nurses said, the Lord really provided a miracle for you, Mary. And I just said, well, yeah, I guess, you know, I didn't pay much attention to it. And Mary kind of wanted to go to church, and I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to go to church at all. And I thought I had my life pretty well planned out, but the Lord had other ideas for me. I remember Mary's brother Bill, he was speaking there, and was the speaker on a Sunday there. And Mary's sister June came to me, and she said, I dare you to go to church. And I said, well, what do I want to go to church for? And she said, well, did you hear Bill? I said, well, I could hear him any time. And she said, no, she said, I'll make you a dare. I'll dare you to go to church. If you'll go to church. I said, okay, I'll take you up on it. So I went to church, and lo and behold, the roof didn't fall in. I always said it would, but it didn't. And when I walked through that door, the Spirit of the Lord hit me like I'd never seen anything like it. I didn't hardly know what was going on. I was so choked up, I couldn't sing. Tears were running down my eyes, and that was the start. The Lord really opened up his Spirit upon me that day and gave me something to think about. And so we started studying about the RLDS Church, and later on we joined it, and later on I was called into the ministry, and just about the time I thought I was standing on that rock, I had that rock kicked out underneath me, and I lit in sandy soil. And it was devastating to me when they had all these things come up, you know, and things that we couldn't believe. And the thing about it is, we didn't know much about it. Back in Independence, everybody knew what was going on, but they kept it hid from us. We were in a little congregation, and they wanted to keep it quiet because they knew we weren't going to react to it too well. And finally, they just kind of kept ridiculing us, needling us. And one time, Mary and I were in class there, and they accused of all of us that didn't believe in women and the priesthood that we lacked faith. And Mary got mad. She just got up, walked out. The whole congregation had to go out and get her, and I went out and talked to her in the coming back in, and so I asked the priesthood, I said, can we have a meeting? I want to talk to you. So we had a meeting the next Sunday before church, and I said, you know, we're in a position we're going nowhere. We can't accept this, and I said, we're probably just a hindrance to this congregation. I said, if you want, we'll leave. And they said, oh, no, don't leave. We'll work around this. There's no way you could work around that. The longer we stayed, the worse it got. Finally, we just walked out the door one day and got our stuff, and we wrote to world headquarters, and we said, we don't want to be a member of this church anymore. Take our names off the records. So then we prayed, and we prayed, and we cried unto the Lord that we could find a church. And I want to take you to the scripture where it tells you to cry unto the Lord with all your cares. And we had a lot of cares there. And that's on Alma 16, page 218. Begins with 218. Therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that you might begin to exercise your faith into repentance, that ye begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer to him. Cry unto him when you are in your fields, yea, over your flocks. Cry unto him until you're in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over your crops, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your field, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, and your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually, for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those that are around you. And now, behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all, for that you have done all these things. If you turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick, afflicted, and in part of your substance, if you have to those which stand in need. And I say unto you, if you do not do any of these things, behold, your prayer is vain, and availeth you nothing. Ye are hypocrites, which do deny the faith. So we cried unto the Lord, and we prayed, and we couldn't see an answer, you know. We didn't want to go to our LDS church, and we didn't want to give up the LDS church, and we didn't want to give up the Book of Mormon. We went to my sister's church and found out that they were really enemies of our church, because they didn't believe in the Book of Mormon, and they believed that it was a fantasy. And so we saw that wasn't going to work. And we did have a few people that we could meet with in their homes. They were dissatisfied with the way things were going. And we hung on and hung on. And actually, I got to the point that I was devastated, and I got sick physically and mentally both. Mary took it a lot better than I did, but it really got to me, because I thought I'd found the Lord, and it just seemed like it gave me the feeling that a man would have if he'd been married a long time and he trusted his wife, And then he found out that she was cheating on him. And that's the feeling that I had about the church, that I had been deceived. So Mary and I continued to pray, and I don't know, it just seemed like I wasn't going anywhere. I just got in a state of mind that I was just living from day to day. And Mary's brother Bill in New York called. And he said to Eli, had some work for me to do in New York, if I'd come up there. And I told him, I said, there's no way I can come to New York. My mother lives next door to us. We look after her and my dad. And Mary said, pray about it. If the Lord wants you in New York, he'll have you in New York. So we made it a matter of prayer, and piece by piece, everything started to fall in place. Mary's sister said she took after my folks while they were gone, stay at our place and look after it. And so we got the plane tickets, got the reservation, and we were all ready to go, and my dad passed away. Just about 3 days, I think, before we were ready to leave. And of course, the first thing I thought, was it really meant for us to go? Should we go to New York? Is this a sign that we made a mistake? But we continued with our plans. We decided we're going anyway, you know. So we had the funeral and had to change our plane fare to a different day. No, we were driving that time. And where were we? No, Mary said we're not driving. So anyway, we flew to New York. And we were to New York several times. And the last time we went to New York, well, actually, when we got to New York, that is when we heard about the Church of Christ. We never heard of the Church of Christ. We didn't know that it was such a thing. We heard about some little old church, you know, that called themselves the Hedderites, and they were just the menace of the RLDS church because they were sitting on this parcel of land that was set aside by Joseph Smith, and they were just a menace, and yet they wouldn't sell. And I kind of thought, well, I can't understand why they wouldn't sell. You offer them enough money, you buy anything, you know. I couldn't understand that, but I didn't know that they were part of the restoration. They didn't explain any of that to me. But when I found the Church of Christ, Gretchen was the one that introduced me to the Church of Christ, and she had a lot of literature, and I started studying, and I told Mary, I said, that church makes a lot better sense than the one we just came from. And we didn't want to make a mistake again, and we prayed and prayed, and we went back and forth several times. And finally, the last time, we decided to drive. Eli had some more work for me, so we went back there. Just out of Omaha, Nebraska, we got in a bad car accident. And we were broadsided and right on Mary's side, and pinned her in. They had to cut her out of the car, take her to the hospital, and I didn't have any place to stay, so I just stayed at the hospital until she was able to be released. And then our nephew came down to where we were at, and he took us to the airport, and Eli had us flown back into New York. And we were so anxious to get there, we heard that Jim and Hubert were there, and we heard a lot about those guys, and so we wanted to meet them. So Mary said, regardless of how she felt, she was going to go. And our son lived in Salt Lake at that time, and he called me and he said, if you'll just come back home, I'll come pick up all your stuff and I'll haul you back home again. And we came too far and we wouldn't come back. Mary in her crippled position, we still went on to New York. And of course, this is the time that we decided to be baptized in the Church of Christ. So the Lord really poured out His Spirit upon us, and I remember that day that we went into the waters of baptism, and Jim and Hubert were there, and there was quite a congregation, and we came out of the waters of baptism, and Bill Sheldon was confirming me. He had his hands upon my head, and all of a sudden the Spirit came over him, and the Spirit let him know that he had to call me into the priesthood as an elder. Well, this made a little sense to me, because I thought, well, it was hard for us to join a church and turn around and go back home where we had no one. And we had no one there. We thought maybe we'd get some of the RLDS people interested, but we didn't have a prophet, and they had to have a prophet, of course. So we went back home, and every morning, or every Sunday morning, we'd have a little service, just like we'd have if we were a church. Every Wednesday, we'd have our prayer service, and we'd pray that we could could have a church someday. We could find people that were seeking. Mary ran into an LDS man that was dissatisfied with the church, and he started studying with us, and he wanted to be baptized, and he was our first member. And that was the start. That was the start of the Treasure Valley Local. We started getting other members in, and finally we had enough members in to have a local. And so we decided to call it the Treasure Valley Local because that area we live in is called the Treasure Valley. And so we've grown. Our growth has been rather slow, and we've lost two of our members to death. And it's been a struggle for us, but the Lord has really blessed us. And one of the things we wanted to do for a long time was have a reunion. Mary kept saying, I hope we can have a reunion someday. And she said that one time to Karen Malone. And Mary, and Karen said, there's no time like the present. She said, I'll help you. And Joel said, he'd help us at that first reunion. And as I look back, that'll be 10 years this spring. We're going to celebrate our 10th reunion. And I think how fast 10 years has gone. And yet how many times that we've been able to visit with our brothers and sisters to come and be a part of this. Other times that we don't get to see them, you know. And how great it is when we come here today to be with our brothers and sisters and share the love that they share with us. And it's really a pleasure. And we are a blessed people. You know, in the scriptures it tells us what the name of the church is. If I'd just been looking in the scriptures and I'd known about the Church of Christ, I'd have known where to go to find that church. But there's so many churches of Christ, you know, you don't know which one you'd go to anyway. And so it took the Lord to bring us. He took us 3,000 miles to find this church. I'm going to take you where it tells you about the name of the church. That's going to be in 3 Nephi, chapter 12, starting with verse 10. And it came to pass that the disciples, whom Jesus had chosen, began from that time forth to baptize and to teach as many as did come unto them, and as many as were baptized in the name of Jesus were filled with the Holy Ghost. And many of them saw and heard unspeakable things which are not lawful to be written. And they taught, and they did minister one to another. And they all had all things in common among them, every man dealing justly one with another. And it came to pass that they did do all these things, even as Jesus had commanded them. And they were baptized in the name of Jesus, and they which were baptized in the name of Jesus were called the Church of Christ. And it came to pass that the 12 disciples were journeying and were preaching the things which had both been heard and seen, and were baptizing in the name of Jesus. It came to pass that the disciples were gathering together and were united in mighty prayer and fasting. And Jesus again showed himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in his name. And Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said unto them, what will ye that I should ask you? And they said unto him, Lord, we will that thou would tell us the name whereby we shall call this church, for there are dispositions among the people concerning this matter. And the Lord said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, why is it that the people should murmur and dispute because of this thing? Have you not read the scriptures, which saith, you must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name? For by this name shall you be called at the last day, and whosoever taketh upon him my name and endureth the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Therefore, whatsoever you shall do, you shall do it in my name. Therefore, you shall call the church in my name, and you shall call upon the Father in my name, that he will bless the church for my sake, and how be it my church, save it be called in my name. For if a church be called in Moses' name, then it's Moses' church. Or if a name be called in the name of a man, then it is the church of a man. But if it is called in my name, then it is my church. If it so be that they are built upon my gospel. And this is the important part. We see a lot of churches of Christ around, but they're not built upon the gospel of Christ. And it says, "Very, verily I say unto you, that ye are built upon my gospel. Therefore you shall call whatever things you do call in my name. Therefore, if you call upon the Father for the church, if it be in my name, the Father will hear you. If it so be that the church is built upon my gospel, then will the Father show forth his works in it. But if it is not built upon my gospel, and is built upon the works of men, or upon the works of the devil, verily, verily, I say unto you, they have joy in their works for a season, and by the end cometh, and they are hewn down, and cast into the fire, from whence there is no return. For the works do follow them, for it is because of their works that they are hewn down. Therefore, remember these things that I have told you. Behold, I have given you my gospel, and this is my gospel, which I have given unto you. And I come into the world to do thy will, to do the will of my Father, because of my Father has sent me." And he says, he's told us that if we love him, we'll do these things, that we'll follow his teachings, the things he's brought to us. And we are a lucky people. And I look back, I think how fortunate I am to be led to the Church of Christ, when I just didn't see there was an answer, and yet there was an answer. The Lord had an answer, and we never gave up faith. And we have really been fortunate to be able to be a member of the Church of Christ and have so many lovely brothers and sisters. You know, as we think about Thanksgiving, we think about this is a great nation we live in. It tells us in the scriptures we're a blessed people. We're a blessed nation, that we're living in a land of promise. And we truly are. As I look back and think of all my blessings, I couldn't name all my blessings. In fact, I'd have a lot of catching up to do, because there was a lot of blessings I received that I just took for granted and I didn't give the Lord credit for. And I never thanked him. And I think I'd have a lot of catching up to do just to thank him for the many that where he worked in my life before I ever knew him. And he guided and directed me down this path where I stand today. This wasn't part of my plan. I never thought I'd ever stand before a congregation. I was a construction man all my life, and I didn't think I was ever cut out to be a preacher. It tells us in Ether, on page 1, verse 28, on page 717, about this is a promised land. Beginning with verse 8, this is the Jaredites now, and they were told to leave their land and come to the promised land, and they had the faith to do so. And this is the same continent that we live on that they came to, and that promise still holds today. And it came to pass that they did travel in the wilderness and did build barges, in which they did cross many waters, being directed continually by the hand of the Lord. And the Lord would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but he would that they should come forth even unto the land of promise, which was choice above all lands, which the Lord had preserved for a righteous people. And he had sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared, that whosoever shall possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him the true and only God, or they should be swept off with the fullness of his wrath, should come upon them. And so it tells us we're a blessed people, but we've got to be a righteous people. We've got to walk in the ways of the Lord. And this promise will remain forever, it says, as long as we walk in the ways of the Lord and follow His teaching. It goes on to say in 32, and the fullness of His wrath came upon them when they ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all the other land. Wherefore he doth possess it. He that does possess it shall serve God, or he shall be swept off, for it is the everlasting decree of God. And it is not until the fullness of iniquity among the children of the land that they are swept off. I wonder how much fullness it has to be. When we look around today, we look at this promised land, and we see the many non-believers, the people that were fighting against the fiery darts of the adversary. And we see so many people that have never found the Lord, and they don't want to. I was kind of that way, really. I didn't seek the Lord. I figured if he wanted me to come looking for me, well, I guess maybe the way he did. Go on and say, this cometh unto you, O Gentiles, that you may know the decrees of God, that you may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness become, that ye may not bring down the fullness of wrath of God upon you and the inhabitants of the land hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations upon heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ, which has been manifest by the things which we have written. So we have every opportunity to completely serve God. We can't say we don't know anything about it. We've got these two books of scriptures. They're just like a road map. They'll direct us right down that road of life, tell us the things we need to do, the things we need to change in our lives. This is a time that we need to thank God and praise Him. A time that has changed in my life when I took too many things for granted. I didn't give the Lord credit, yet He blessed me many times. And I just thought I was lucky. And I know now that these were two blessings from the Lord. I'm going to take you to Mosiah now on page 212 on chapter 1. Beginning with verse 52. I say unto you, my brethren, that if you should render all the thanks and praise which your whole souls have power to possess to that God who has created you and hath kept and preserved you and has caused that you should rejoice and has granted that you should live in peace one with another, I say unto you that if you should serve him who have faith created you from the beginning and are preserving you from day to day by lending you breath that you may live and move and do according to your own will and even supporting you from one moment to another. And I say, if you should serve him with all your whole soul, yet you would be unprofitable servants. I think there's another scripture that he calls us unworthy creatures. And I look and I think, do we really deserve all this? We look at other nations that's never been blessed like us. Our ministers that go to Africa, they see that they don't have near the things that we have, but we have so many things that take our minds away from the Lord. And they don't have those things to disrupt them. They can keep their mind fully on one direction, and that is the path of the Lord, that rod of iron. Goes on to say, and behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments. And he has promised you that if you would keep his commandments, you should prosper in the lands. And he never doth vary from that which he has said. Therefore, if you do keep his commandments, he does bless you and prosper you. And now, in the first place, he has created you and granted you your lives, for which ye are indebted unto him. I remember when I was younger, I wondered what the purpose of life was, you know. Why are we here? You know, why are we here on this earth? We spend a lifetime learning and probably beginning, maybe if we do it right, we might be pretty well financially fixed. And then we die. It seems, why? And I didn't realize that this is our time of probation, the time when we will be judged whether the works that we do shall be good or evil. And I didn't know that at that time. And I praise the Lord that he took me away from the worldly things and brought me out of a world of darkness. And he's led me down that narrow path and helps me to hang on to that rod of iron. Thank you.